hills of Westwood. This is Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins News and Culture Talk Show. I'm Davey Kim.
And I'm Taylor Erickson.
We've got an exciting show for you today. First up, in light of Hip Hop Appreciation Month, I spoke with one of the members of UCLA's Hip Hop Congress. Mukhtar Kaisi, a second-year fine arts student, tells us about some of the activities and shows they have and will be putting on as well as the elements that make up a good hip hop jam. We also have with us live in the studio second-year business economics student Maurice Wheatley, who goes by a stage name AceMac. He talks to us a little bit about his hip-hop journey, and we're in for a special treat today, as Ace will also be tearing it up with a live performance.
So, as much as hip-hop is good for your soul, what is good for your body? We've brought Dr. Barron from the UCLA Ash Center to give us a consultation on proper dieting and nutrition. If you want to lose weight in a healthy way, or you want to find simple ways to maintain a healthy lifestyle, then you definitely want to tune into this.
I also spoke with Father Paul Rossbaum from the University Catholic Center about Lent season, which started on February 13th, just 2 weeks ago, and the spiritual significance of fasting.
And lastly, there's been some weird news buzzing around here in the world outside of UCLA. So we have Daniel Olin, who participated in the Laugh Bowl finals this past Thursday. So he's here to provide us some commentary on some of these wacky stories. Have you ever had the
feeling that you was being had? Don't that shit that make you... In conjunction with UCLA's Cultural Affairs Commission, Hip Hop Congress has been putting on a series of exciting film screenings, workshops, panel discussions, and fashion shows this month in order to address issues by using hip hop as a vehicle for activism. In order to better understand this cultural movement, I spoke with Mukhtar Kaisi about the different aspects of hip hop.
So I was doing some research to see if, you know, Hip Hop Month was a nationally recognized month, and it just seems like it's something that UCLA and the Cultural Affairs Commission chose. Is there something significant to the month of February?
Well, Hip Hop Appreciation Month, we've been doing it for a few years now, and I don't know, I think it might have to be due to the correlation between like Black History Month as well. So, and I think UCLA just celebrates that aspect of it, and how we must, like, how like CAC, the Cultural Affairs Commission, has to, like, likes to do edutainment. It's like, you educate while you entertain.
Okay, then can you tell me, like, what makes up Hip Hop Congress? Because you're a part of that. Mm-hmm. And, like, what are some of the events that you guys have put on this month?
We have set committees within our staff that we break up in the beginning of the year and, like, assign ourselves to these committees. And February 4th, this is all passed already. We have one more event coming up this week. The kickoff, the Hip Hop Appreciation kickoff. So that's just, like, the kickoff the whole month. And we had to include all the elements of hip-hop in it. So there's, like... So we had, like, I don't know, a concert going on, plus some graffiti, like, artists is doing something, some performances.
Cool. What about the big show that's coming up this week?
Big show this week is actually the ASAP Rocky concert. That's going to be a good concert. Everyone should come out to it, and I'm sure...
Is he, like, an up-and-coming, like, hip-hop artist, or is he pretty established?
He's pretty established right now. He was up-and-coming more, like, last year, and now it's, like, he's found his little niche, like, in the hip-hop world, I guess.
Cool. Like, what are some of the elements that sets this apart from, like, other genres, I guess?
The four main elements of hip-hop are it's MCing, graffiti artists, breakdancing, and DJing.
In the hip-hop culture, like, all four, they're, like, pretty prominent.
Like, yeah, like...
Do all four of them, or...
Like, you hear hip-hop, people will be talking about hip-hop, and they're like, okay, they see hip-hop, they think only of the music. But there's art, there's so many graffiti artists, there are so many DJs, there are so many breakdancers, and all of these are elements that are included in this hip-hop culture and how it's intertwined within, like, the society.
Once again, that was Mukhtar Kaisi from Hip Hop Congress. With us here now at Long Story Short is Maurice Wheatley, a.k.a. AceMac. Thanks for coming to our show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Ace, we're all really excited to hear you perform one of your songs live. But first, a few questions about your craft. Firstly, what does hip-hop mean to you, and how does this show up in your work?
All right, what does hip-hop mean to me? Well, I've been rapping for a long time. So, I mean, to me... In order to, like, clearly, like, describe it, it's a way for me to express myself as an individual and just to be heard, and I think that's most important. You know, it's a lot of
Cool. So, how did you get started in the hip hop business? Take us back the history of your career.
I've been, like, my dad used to rap when I was younger, and I was probably about 9. He used to produce, and I don't know. Basically, my whole family had some music talent, so I was always surrounded by it. At some point, I kind of took the initiative to start recording, so I started rapping when I was 10 and, like, you know, it was kind of recording here and there. But I don't know. I started taking it seriously when I turned 16, my sophomore year of high school. And I actually, like, got my studio and got everything set up and started to make as many songs as I could. I just wrote a whole lot. And now I'm down here with different mixtapes, just putting out a lot of work. So,
can you tell us a little bit about the song that you're actually about to perform for us today?
Yes. Well, this song will just be just a quick verse, basically, just to kind of keep everybody entertained with, you know, the next mixtape. I've been on a hiatus as far as, you know, material, because I've been working on the next mixtape and music videos. So I've just kind of been out the air at this point. This will just be a nice way to kind of just keep everybody entertained, see what I'm doing lyrically. Okay, future projects coming up. Yes, my next mixtape, Immaculate Circumstances. The latest project was Under the Influence. You can check that out on datpiff.com. Under the Influence once again. But yeah, basically the next mixtape will entail my whole life story, basically, and just describing like who I am as an individual and where I'm at this point in life and how I'm going to take advantage of, you know, my environment. So
cool.
I mean, everything else is just the music videos that I have coming out. So just, you know, stay posted on that.
So whenever you're ready.
Yeah. So can you start the track? I'm about to just get into this right now, I guess. Okay, there we go. Here we go. Okay. Okay, everybody know my name, so I'm gonna act real arrogant. If I don't even benefit, consider it irrelevant. They throw dirt on my name with these lies. They try and say that since I ain't perfect, I don't deserve my place. But I switch up so constantly, got them swankingly watching me. But I'm probably crazy, and if I ain't, then we all agree. Cause I'm multi-track, minded ain't a dang thing out of place. From a really different jungle where hyenas can't be tame. I know the ones that set you up and will do it for just in vain. Many streets is straight insane if you don't embrace the claim. Cause these other dudes is crazy, man, they bad at they paint. They got no emotions, forget it. You can't pray, try to pay your way out of death, but death is a friend of fate. Whether I made it out or not, I still be real, I can't complain. Cause my whole city gon' take over this whole nation. Face it, we been in it for a minute, now we finna demonstrate it. Here you go. A little something.
Alright, that was an awesome mini set, Ace Mac. Before you go, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter, AceMacMW, AceMacMW. Look me up on Facebook. Go ahead and like the page. On YouTube, just search for AceMac, and you'll be able to find the latest videos, posts, and just I'll keep you posted. So just like the page, and yeah, let's do this.
All right, thanks so much for being us here in the studio. I'm Davey Kim.
And I'm Taylor Erickson. This is Long Story Short. Are you trying to lose weight but just can't find the motivation to do it? Have you tried everything and still haven't found results? Well, Dr. Barron, the executive director of the UCLA Ash Center, has a few answers. And I'm sorry, the answer is not buying one of those electric belts that you tie around your waist. Nor should you take diet pills. Basically, what Dr. Barron tells us is that incremental changes in your everyday diet are more effective in the long run.
People of all ages like to diet, but let's first start out with, what are the wrong ways to diet?
Okay, can I answer that question after we define diet?
Sure. So what is dieting?
Right, well, first of all, there's this paradox about the word dieting, right? When you say, you can use it two ways. You can say, what is a healthy diet? And what you mean by that is, what is a healthy program of eating? Right? Doesn't necessarily have to be associated with weight loss. People talk about dieting and diets a lot of the time in our society, meaning I'm trying to lose weight. I'm going to eat this particular way or try this particular method to lose weight. So you've got the Atkins diet, the South Beach diet, the grapefruit diet, and the cookie diet, and the whatever else. You can lose weight by changing the way you eat. You lose weight by changing what you eat, how much you eat, restricting the number of calories you take in. And the problem always is in the maintenance, if there is a benefit in the first place, right? Now, pills and supplements that are used to assist with diet are, for the most part, useless and sometimes dangerous. About 10 years ago, the FDA finally yanked one supplement off the market that was an ingredient that was included in a lot of diet formulas called ephedra. Ephedra was a stimulant. And stimulants are pretty effective at reducing your appetite.
Ben, is there a healthy way of approaching diets rather than looking at, you know, weight loss, maybe like lower cholesterol or...
The first step is to start to step away from the daily consumption of sugar-added products like the sodas.
Pastries.
And the pastry. Well, then you've got the sweetened sort of starchy carbohydrates, right? The cakes, cookies, candies, and sweets. So the obvious goodies, mm-hmm. right? And not to completely eradicate them from your diet, because then you wind up with sort of a psychology of deprivation. And every one of us, no matter how mature we are, has a like 6-year-old in our primitive portion of our brain that wants what it wants, and it wants it now, and it's stronger than anything else. If you want to make some changes in your diet, make an incremental change where you don't deprive yourself of some things that you just love, but you significantly reduce the frequency with which you eat them, and you'll see a difference.
Yeah, along the lines of your body storing fat, and like, what do you think about the like people fasting? I know there's religious reasons for that,
yeah, yeah.
But then health wise, like, what's going on in your body?
Okay,
you're
so
choosing
that,
to fast?
I'm glad I was just going to bring that up. So in addition to what you eat, how you eat matters too, and sort of when you eat. There was just a study that came out in various venues a couple weeks ago about looking at what time people had the largest meal of the day and who had an easier time losing weight. And they had two groups of people that were assigned to just eat their main meal of the day, their late lunch, and either before 3 p.m. or after 3 p.m. The ones that ate before 3 p.m. lost 5 pounds more than the ones that ate after 3 p.m., same number of calories, same basic activity level. So the idea was that, yeah, eating later may actually, you know, promote more fat storage and retention. But as far as when you eat and how often you eat, eating smaller meals more frequently is probably better than eating a large meal less frequently. So if you eat your dinner at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and then you skip breakfast, and the first thing you eat is at 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. lunchtime the next day, then you've gone 16 hours without a meal. And within 16 hours, all sorts of hormonal and physiological mechanisms have kicked in your body to say, there's no food around. We better store fat. And it starts to convert sugar and starch in your liver into fat. So if you want to mobilize fat, if you want to send your body signals that it's not necessary to store extra fat, there's plenty around, right? Then you just keep putting little bits of food in the stomach every 2 to 3 hours. Not while you're sleeping, but, you know. And then,
no, yeah, because right? Late night snacking isn't a good idea.
No,
right?
but a little late night snack may be a good idea. And then, you know, an hour before bed or 2 hours, you know, somewhere later in the evening, you have some fruit and a little cheese or some almonds or something that's kind of healthy, natural. That's fine.
Then what about breakfast? Is breakfast really all that important for like setting the day?
So you've heard for so many years that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and your brain needs it to function. And some people need it to function optimally and some people don't. But as far as your metabolism is concerned, in terms of like a steady physiology, in terms of blood sugar regulation and weight management, for exactly the reasons I just told you, you want to eat breakfast. Now, if you say, well, I don't feel like eating breakfast in the morning, I'm not hungry, then have something really light. You can find something that your body won't mind. You know, I'll often have an apple and a handful of almonds if I don't feel like, you know, eating a big breakfast. I don't always eat eggs and cereal and stuff, you know. And what we do have to do is get people over the notion of all or nothing. Well, I'm not joining a gym because I don't have time to go to the gym 3 times a week. Well, do you have time to go for a 10-minute walk? Yeah, but that's not going to do anything. Well, actually, it will do something. Start going for a 10-minute walk every day. Start parking your car at the opposite end of the parking lot at Costco and walking all the way across into the thing. You know, start taking the stairs in every single building that you can, unless it's just there are no stairs or it's just ridiculously too many floors, you know. If this was easy, there wouldn't be multi-billion dollar industries trying to help you do it. So it's very hard, and incremental changes are important and people should give themselves credit. If they're 50 pounds overweight and they lose 10 pounds, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And it benefits your health. Even if it doesn't fit you into skinny jeans, it does lower your blood pressure. It does help your heart. It does help your joints. People need to be commended for incremental change.
Well, thank you so much for your insights, Dr. Barron. I'm Taylor Erickson.
And I'm Davey Kim. As you may or may not know, February 13th was Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent in the Gregorian calendar. In order to inform us about this common Christian and Catholic tradition, which dates back to 325 AD, I spoke with Father Paul Robles on how Lent season shapes some students' day-to-day activities, and I asked him about some of these things people give up during this religious observance.
It's also connected with almsgiving, and it's also connected with prayer. A lot of students give up Facebook so that they have more time to tend to their spiritual life and probably more time to study, too. When I was a senior in college, I gave up beer for Lent, even though I was a frat boy. That was hard. Many students will take up an additional spiritual practice for Lent.
Right.
So they might read from the scriptures every day. They might go to Mass during the week a few times. They might do something in direct service to the poor, like serve at a soup kitchen.
Is there something that you're particularly giving up this Lent season?
Well, I'm doing two things. I found a prayer that speaks to me that I never saw before. It's a prayer for healing and hope, and I've resolved to pray that every day. The other thing I'm doing is the traditional long fast. It's no longer required, but when I was a boy it was, that you fasted every day of Lent. The fast was one regular meal and two smaller meals.
Okay.
Meat only with the big meal and nothing in between. Okay. So you went to bed a little hungry, and on a fast day you should feel hungry no matter how you observe it.
I'm Davey Kim.
And I'm Taylor Erickson. Okay, so it's the last week of February, and sometimes at the end of the month we like to take a look at some of the news headlines and see if there's anything weird buzzing around the world. Here to help us make some sense of the bizarreness of the world's affairs is Daniel Olin. He's a second-year math econ student.
Hi there.
And last Thursday, he competed in the Laugh Bowl, which is a stand-up comedy competition between UCLA and USC students. Thanks so much for being here, Dan.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show. They found me picking for scraps in the dumpster behind Ackerman. Well, they were nice enough to take me in, and now I'm on the radio.
Yeah, you've come a long way. Okay, so first up, this was on the Huffington Post, and apparently 4th and 5th graders were snorting those Smarty candies. You all know what those are. They look like pills. They were crushing them and inhaling them, and the principal sent a letter to the parents expressing this concern. So, Dan, why
frankly,
are kids doing this? Are
frankly,
they being kids?
I am impressed. These kids were figuring out that I didn't even know exist. You know, when I first heard that story, I thought that they're actually getting high. It turns out they were just pretending to get high. There's nothing in Smarties that does that at all. They just were having a good time. I don't know, imitating their parents? Depends on where the school was.
Right? So this news piece was reported today. You know IKEA, right, Dan?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
The Swedish furniture store that we all love to hang out in. Well, apparently IKEA has just recalled its famously cheap Swedish meatballs in 14 European countries. I read this and I was like, thank goodness I am an American. Why? You ask, because there's horse meat in it. Apparently, the meatballs were advertised as solely having beef and pork ingredients. I mean, I guess it's not a big deal, but you know what's weird? Like, horse meat has been headlining the news recently, because I know recently in Germany, two politicians suggested redistributing horse meat to lower-class families. Why all this attention to horses? I don't know. I don't know if Black Beauty would appreciate this.
I don't understand why IKEA has to take all the heat. McDonald's burgers are made of, like, no beef. They actually have, the company is called 100% Beef, but it's not. They just get to name it that. That's how they get to have like 100% beef on the label. That's how they pulled that off. I don't know. I think horse is delicious.
I mean, it seems like it would be a firmer sort of steak, you know, just because they're very muscular. They're moving around
gamey.
A lot. Whereas a cow is just more stagnant. It just sort of chews its cud and just stands there and develops fat. Horses run around. They're skittish.
I prefer ox.
The cow is just kind of like the fat kid of nature. I don't understand. I feel like the cows don't even mind at this point. They know they're going to die. Horses, at least, maybe it's messed up because, like, they have some, you know, they might spend their life, little kids ride them or something. Cow is pretty much born. It's going to get eaten.
Wow, that's a great point. Okay, so here's another news headline. I was a little bit shocked. Okay, so on the according to Raider Online, this happened in Waynesville, Ohio. Ron Cronenberger, he is a landlord, and he's charged with the assault of spanking one of his tenants. So, I'm sorry. So apparently one of his tenants owed $2,800. And he told, so the tenant told Waynesville police that, quote, he was just scared and wanted to get it over with. Ron Cronenberger, the guy who spanked his tenant, actually was voted in 2006 the, like, Citizen of the Year in Waynesville, Ohio. So what do you have to say about this? What do you think about tenants spanking their tenants? Or landlords?
There's a reason why I don't live in Waynesville, Ohio, I guess. Was he, like bare bottom? Like, did he make him pull down his pants, or did he just sort of do it?
It says spanking the bare buttocks, so it's basically like a father-child sort of relationship here.
That's pretty much amazing. He's some kind of landlord. If maybe like the Citizen of the Year award has so much weight that he could just go up to someone and be like, pull down your pants, I'm going to spank you now. And the guy's like, oh, I'll just get it over with? Is that what he
basically
said?
I mean, he accepted his punishment. Sounds like it.
How many times did he spank him?
It was not clear, but
it wasn't specific.
Enough to be charged with an assault, apparently. I mean, I don't know, one spank or 10 spanks, it's still a spank, and it's still kind of violating his...
I live in a frat house, so that's just sort of part of everyday living, but I guess if you're not used to it...
Yeah, I don't think he was used to it. Okay, so we have another one. There is a Walmart employee from Indiana who's charged with a felony. Okay, she's a 63-year-old woman, seemingly innocent, but so she didn't murder anyone. She didn't read her boss's mail. What did she do? She ate boxes of Oreo cookies.
I was actually fired for the exact same... I was fired from CVS Pharmacy because maybe it wasn't Oreos, it was Doritos. And for a couple weeks when I was 16, I took Doritos. And they did exactly what happened to the woman in this story. They called in this scary, like... Internal Bureau of Investigation for CVS, and he like interrogated me, and I'm like, God, I hope he doesn't find out about the other stuff I stole.
Ooh, well, I wouldn't ask you exactly what else you stole. I wouldn't want to jeopardize that, but
mostly Sudafed and other things used for. All right, we're gonna scratch that from the record.
We'll scratch that from the record. But you weren't charged with a felony, so I think I don't know. I guess if you consider a felony as stealing, right? It's like robbery.
It is stealing.
I mean, for the past 4 years, this woman was eating Oreo cookies. It's like, was she starving? Why just Oreos? I don't really know. We don't have all the details.
I don't know. I'm all for that five-finger discount. I guess before we go, let's talk about Colorado and their move towards decriminalizing adultery.
I want to hear about this one.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, like, Colorado, they don't want the big brother to oversee their marriages, but is this move indirectly giving the thumbs up for adultery? What do you think?
I give the thumbs up for adultery. We don't need... I mean, libertarians would have a field day with this one. Why does the government even do that in the first place? I mean, it's like a contract, but at most there should be... What's the punishment for adultery?
I think that's hard to regulate, right? You see a man and a woman just going out to coffee or something. It's like you have a police officer that's just going to be like, oh, are you guys married? I need to see your wedding rings or something.
How far can you take it? Can you just be like making out with someone else?
But I guess we'll find out in the next few months about that one.
Adultery is kind of a touchy subject, but I never really thought there's like a pro versus con stance. It just seems like, I mean, yeah, why would, like, there wasn't ever a consequence, like a legal consequence for it. So
people
I don't really
get
know.
Married.
We're just going to wrap this up. Thank you so much, Dan, for being all here, right. For giving us some of your commentary.
No problem. Hey, if you get a chance, everyone listening, follow me at TheDanOlin at Twitter. No one cares, but just in case, you might want to check it out. I say something funny like 1 in 25 times. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
That's a great probability. Thanks so much, Dan. I'm Taylor Erickson.
And I'm Davey Kim. You've been tuning in to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruin's weekly news and culture talk show on UCLAradio.com. You can also check us out on the Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page, on Twitter at Daily Bruin Radio, and on Tumblr at dailybruinradio.tumblr.com.
A special thanks to our guests tonight. And thanks to our lovely radio director, Emily Chu, our broadcast director, Bianca Brosis, and our sound engineer, Hannah Jacobs.
For your sports fix, listen to Out of Bounds by Daily Bruin Radio with Tyler Drohan and Sam Strong. That's coming up next on Daily Bruin Radio. You have been listening to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruin's weekly news and culture talk show. That's the long and short of it. I'm Davey Kim.
And I'm Taylor Erickson. It's like this, calling number one, it's like my license for 3, 2, 1, time's up, pod dividers, I try, but...